Okay. So see, it's running now. Now, this is the date today, July 22nd? 22nd. Yeah, 22nd, because tomorrow's the 23rd, Meech Lake. Oh. Okay, and it's Ann Gonnell. I'm in the Divine kitchen with Gordon Divine and his wife, Margaret. Okay? Now, Mr. Divine has generously given us a copy of his family history. Maybe before we get into the tape, I'll just give you the stuff here. Okay, like some of the questions I was going to ask were very specific ones. The names of any divines, like if there are divines still living in Cumberland and the Byers area, for instance, not their names, but are there, like, still in the township? I meant to bring a photograph that I found. Anyway, we'll just talk and we'll just leave the tape recorder on, and then what I'll do is just take what we want out of it. Okay, we're going to go back here. All right. Okay, you showed me this photograph of this picture of Francis. I'm not sure whether that's a photograph or whether that's a sketch, you know?
Did they have cameras those days, way back at 1850? They must have.
I'm not sure. I think it was in its infancy then. I think that's probably a sketch, you know?
They probably had to go to Bytown to get the picture taken.
Fair likely. Well, there wasn't even much of Bytown at that time.
No.
They might have gone to Montreal.
How would they get there? There was no railroad here.
No.
This railroad was 102-year-old, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how they would have got back and forth to Montreal. But, okay, and Francis, you're saying, died in the other buildings that are no longer there, on the other 50 acres?
My father told me that's all I can go by.
And that's east of here?
North.
North.
The north half of the east half.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. North half of the east half of lot 25 and station 6.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying that the road, the Divine Road, wasn't here at the time. They had to cross the other property.
Yeah, that was very early because they had to get a field. They had to cut trees down and get a field and get buildings up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how long it took them to put the buildings up. They certainly didn't put them all up in 1 year.
No, no.
But anyway, they went out that way. My father told me it's only a little piece there to the Forest Road. Mm-hmm. The Forest Road is very crooked, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know much about James at all?
No.
Francis? Okay, you don't know very much about him at all. He's buried at Bearbrook.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So he was an Anglican?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the stone last Sunday, the memorial service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he died. He was 75 when he died.
Oh, that's good, because we don't have... Well, maybe we do have a birth date. I bet you that's an approximate date. Is there one here for him? No. See, 1824 was an approximate date, because we have a birth date for Francis for 1819. So James...
He died when he was 75 years
75
old. I have a plaque upstairs. I should have got it off of his coffin, I guess. It must be.
Oh, a little metal one?
Black piece of tin about that mm-hmm. long. It's upstairs. I should have got it out last night. I never thought of it.
No, that's okay. So if he was 75 years old and he died... We got his death date on here.
1899
on the stone. I checked that last Sunday. 1899 he died.
Mm-hmm.
75 years old, he's buried at Bearbrook.
So he was born around 1824. Yeah. Okay, which is what my guess was.
Now my grandfather died in 1925.
Mm-hmm.
In July the 26th.
So she was a widow for 26 years?
My grandfather, Irwin Devine.
Oh, okay.
He died in July 26, 1925. I was 9 months old.
Mm-hmm.
But now, James Devine's wife, when did he die? When did she die?
No, it's listed on here. Died June 17th, 1897. No. I'm trying to read it upside.
Yeah,
1897. Yeah, yeah. So your father remembers her?
That's what he told me.
He remembered when
kids
she died.
Kids used to run across there. When this house was built, mm-hmm. kids used to run across there, and they were still there. But
mm-hmm. Okay.
My grandfather built this house, but the other three, his two brothers and his sister, had to get out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you don't ever remember anybody talking about the years in New York?
No. That's lost.
Mm-hmm.
I should have got information. When I was a kid about that,
mm-hmm.
Mother Andrew, you knew more about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't tell you how long we lived in Oswego, New York at all. That puzzled me because I figured the farm, how old it was, and I couldn't be out 15 years or more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to look on the 1861 census at the museum today. That was something we never thought to do the other day.
Yeah.
And if it's on, we also have older records going back before then, but I don't think it would be on there. I'm sure it wouldn't be. But if they're on the 1861 census, that's a pretty good idea. Did we look at the map? There's a map there from 1862. I don't think it is.
But anyway, I'm sure the Lowes and the Marshalls were here before James Devine. Well, maybe they weren't either. I don't know.
They all came. There's a lot of them came around the same time. Fairbrook, I think, was settled earlier, and then Vars a little bit later on. So, and some of the families were at Fairbrook around the same time Cumberland was settled, around 1813.
Oh yeah, there's old farms in Cumberland too, and Sarsfield
yeah.
too,
mm-hmm.
and Navan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's getting away from this.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Do you know if Francis was related to the Rickard family that lived in Vars?
I can't tell you how they were related. No idea how they were related. I never asked Evans.
Yeah.
And his brothers are all dead. You can't ask them.
I don't. Well, Evans didn't know a lot about the family past his own parents. He didn't, because they were away for a while.
He probably couldn't connect her either.
Yeah, I don't think they can. Well, that's going to be one thing that I would really like to track down. That'd be interesting to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was the Rickard family living here, and the name isn't that common. It's a Welsh name, as you know, but there were also Rickard families living elsewhere in Canada, so they were fairly early settlers. There was a group of Welsh settlers that came fairly early in Ontario, and it'd be interesting to see if they tie in with that bunch. But see, we have, in the township here, we have a Nancy who was born in 1850, a Robert born 1857, and a Thomas born 1862. So those three were sort of the one generation. Oh, no, pardon me, I'm wrong. There was a John Rickard born 1805. He's the earliest Rickard that we've got in the township. Now, he might have been Francis' brother.
Did Evans tell you who his father, what his father's name
yep.
was?
Robert Evans,
Rickard.
Robert, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, I would presume that this Nancy, Robert, and Thomas would have been descendants of John, because he's the only male Rickard that we have living in the township. So, and he is around the same time frame to be Francis' brother, for instance. Now, there's a reference in here that Francis was, her brother was a British Army man.
Yes.
In which case, those records should be around. So, that's something else we could see if we can't find out there.
He married a sister of a British Army man.
Yeah.
That was from, she was from Wales.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we don't know whether they were married after they got here. Well, no, we do. We know that they were supposedly married in Oswego, New York, because two of their children were born there. So,
oh, I never thought that. They weren't married in Ireland or Wales then.
Well, don't presume so, because it says here, where does it say, so you have to read this really, really carefully. Francis was born in Wales, migrated to USA at an early age. So I would think from that she was probably a child when she came. And then, you know, but it's possible they were married before they came. We don't know. But what's interesting is that it's quite possible that this John Rickard, if he was her brother, he came and settled in the area after Francis and James came here. So we could tell that from their land ownership when they came, probably. Gives us a pretty good idea anyway. See, those are the kind of things that you end up, like the Marshall family is all done for you, and that's great, because that's one connection. You can go right back to
a lot of work.
George, and there's no problem that way. But, okay.
Well, then Irwin Devine, my grandfather, married Harriet Marshall, of course. That's their family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a tie-in, like the Devines seem to be, there's tie-ins there with several of the township families, the Marshalls, the Lowes, McGladrys, you know, so you sort out one family tree and a lot of time it helps you sort out the others.
Well,
that's a big bonus for us.
My father and Ed Griffith were first cousins, because Mrs. Griffith was a Marshall girl, a sister of Harriet.
Mm-hmm. Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. And those sort of ties get all straightened out when you have a family tree. Like it's, you know, particularly when you marry into a family, you think, oh, I'll never get this all straight. Are there Devines still living in Cumberland Township that you're aware of?
No, just myself and my two boys.
Mhm.
And if there's any more, I don't know where they are.
Mhm.
Because the ones who were born in Cumberland, they all disappeared.
James' children now. Yeah. Yeah, I was looking to see if we got any. See, we have one No, we've got one Divine son, Patrick James Divine. He was John Eric's son on the second page. Yeah, you probably know that better.
Well, they had six children.
Okay, well, there was James Divine, yeah.
Six.
Well, James, there's a grandson of, great-grandson of James, Patrick James Divine, was the only male descendant from that line I could find that still carries the name Divine, and that's 1951 he was born. But chances are, you know, he's not living in the area anymore. As far as you know, they're not in the area.
See, Clem Divine is
mm-hmm.
buried up at Beaverton, Ontario. That's
mm-hmm.
James Divine's son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's two names on the stone down there.
Well, this Patrick James would have been his grandfather. Or his grandson, rather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a fine name here.
Yeah, yeah. There's two names on which stone? The one at Beaverton?
Cumberland, in the Dale Cemetery. There's two other names on the Divine Stone underneath James Divine.
Mm-hmm.
So his sons could, two of his sons could be buried with him. I can't tell. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be on the stone if they weren't buried there.
Depends. For instance, I've seen some families in the township. We have the cemetery books or the records of the gravestones with the inscription. And for instance, if someone was lost overseas, quite often they'll list a memorial and
yeah.
say so-and-so, you know, lost at sea. It's really a nice way of keeping the family together if you put it on the stone and that so-and-so died living out west, or that it's, you know, for the genealogist or for the family historian, it's right there. But it's not usually done. Usually if they're listed on the gravestone, they're buried in the plot, yeah. It was quite common for infant children who died at birth and that sort of thing to be buried.
Oh, yeah.
With a parent, or usually with a grand, like quite often with grandparents too, if there was a family plot, they were buried with them. So they are probably, and we would have that from the Dale Cemetery anyway. What else here?
Well, we're just from Irwin Divine to James Divine.
Oh, I know, bopping around
that's
all over the place. You know what I meant to bring, and I completely forgot, was a couple of years ago, I remembered thinking that we had used a photograph in the communique a couple of years ago of a blacksmith shop in Cumberland Village. And it was one that Annie Barnett had taken, a photograph. Now what I have to do is see if I can't dig out a copy of that. I don't think you'd know from looking at them. I don't know when the photograph... I think the photograph was taken around 1930.
Was there, you don't know if there's two blacksmith shops or not.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Around that time, I really don't know.
Well, would it be James Divine's blacksmith shop?
Well,
it could be.
So I'll have to see if I can't find that photograph. I meant to bring it this morning. I just have to dig through back issues of the communique, and I can bring it over and show you. But it was one that was taken by Annie Barnett. And remember, Pat was saying that the other day, that Annie Barnett had told her where Divine's blacksmith shop was. So she would know where it was.
I'd better go down and see Mr. Dunning or
Vic
Farmer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Carlton Farmer, yeah.
But I hate to. I can make an attempt at it, but how am I going to record all they tell me?
You want to borrow my tape recorder?
Oh.
I'll check you out on how to use it.
Yeah,
but it's anything like that.
Either one of these men, I don't know. Their minds are pretty good. I've heard, but old people. Well, I'm old too. I start drifting off on something other subject. You see?
That's fine. That's wonderful.
You get away from what you want to know.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any difference because it's so neat to be able to hear the voices and a lot of times in some of those old stories that come out that. You know, one person sort of starts going and get somebody else rolling. And that's the kind of thing that's nice to have.
I was only talking to Mr. Carlton Farmer once in my life at an auction sale, and I found out who he was and where he lived. That's all I know about.
Mm-hmm.
I know him to see him.
Because mm-hmm.
he was on the wagon at Navin Fair on the float there one year, a few
mm-hmm.
years back. But I don't know how spry he is now or how,
mm-hmm.
how good his memory is now.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me to go and see him.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you should do is call Pat Wright
and get her
to take you over, because she would do that. She'd go with her.
It is.
Mm-hmm. But Pat would go with you if you give her a call.
Anyway, what else?
Okay.
Irvin Devine's family are all dead, okay.
Yeah. Now, Irvin ran the farm. He took over the farm from his father?
Yes.
Or he ran a separate farm?
No. He took it. 100 acres over.
Mm-hmm. And he built the house that
he
we're sitting in
house.
Here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he lived here, and my father lived here, and I lived here.
Okay.
So this house must be,
well, what,
110 years, 115, something like that.
Yeah, probably not that old, but, you know, it's getting up there.
These kids were born in it.
Yep. Well, Irvin was born 1852, so say he built it when he was married, that's 1872, so that's 120.
Mm-hmm. All his kids were born here.
They were all born here. Well, see, the first one was born, where are we here, James Percy, 1882.
Well.
See, that's, so that's well over the 100 mark here. All of his children were born here, okay. Do you remember when the old house, James and Francis' house, was torn down? Was it still there when you were a kid?
My grandfather sold it, and it was moved on planks and rollers to the other 100 acres that he sold here south of the road. He sold 100 acres down there to Mr. Fulbert from Embrum.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved the house on mm-hmm. planks and rollers and the horses so much, so far a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put the house in with the farm for $900. 100 acres. My father told me that I don't know how many times.
Mm-hmm. But you weren't...
They moved that house.
Yeah, but you weren't alive to see it.
No.
Yeah, I don't remember it. Is the house... So you wouldn't know if the house is still standing?
No, it was moved again after the Fulbert, after the Fulberts were all raised in it, and the Does were raised in it, and Mr. St. Louis got a hold of the farm, and he put up those six houses there. Moved back up the road, that was the second house, and one night it caught fire, so it burned.
Mm-hmm.
But the Paul Doe had torn the kitchen off of it. It was just the main log house, and it was moved up the road. A fellow from Limoges moves houses. He moved it up the road for St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
A few years later, it was all burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a vacant lot.
Mm-hmm. But do you remember seeing the house at all?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I helped Doe thrash one year, and it. We put grain upstairs in it. I carried bags upstairs in that old house. It's my great-grandfather's old house.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. There's a lot of houses in the township that have moved all over the place.
So that house was... Oh, well, there's no use going back to see how old it was.
Yeah. Well, 1860, it probably would have been at least 20 or 30 years older than this house. So, 130 years old.
We have one building here, the old pig house out there, that was moved over from over there too, on planks and rollers.
Mm-hmm.
That old log building over there. So it's the oldest building on the farm now.
Yeah. And you said somebody came and took the four-faced photographs of it, one from each side?
Yes, no, he never left his name or address or anything.
Well, the only thing I can think of, and that's what Mr. Pilon was saying the other day too, it must have been somebody from LACAC. Did they come and talk to you at all?
Oh, yes.
They were in the archives.
He was busy.
From the archives.
He didn't have much time to talk. He had this camera there.
Well.
Gee, why didn't you leave me the name? And he was down in the basement, too, to see how the old fellow made the basement.
They were
the
foundation?
Stones, flat
mm-hmm.
stones
mm-hmm.
and mortar.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you leave me his card?
When was this, recently?
Oh, no, this is way, way back. Oh, what year? You weren't here, right?
I was so.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
14 years or married?
Yeah.
Must have been 12 years ago.
Well, it might have been. Would you know Bob McNary? From Cumberland?
I heard of the name.
I'm wondering if it'd be Bob McNary. He'd be a man in his 60s now.
Oh, yeah, he's in Cumberland Township. Could have been him.
Yeah. Be the one I could think
you
of.
Don't know if it is. Well, it must have been a man from Cumberland Township, right?
What'll be. Well, no, not necessarily.
Ottawa Carlton, all over.
Well, it could be. You know, see, I don't know. See, the NCC wouldn't be doing out here. And NCC does a lot of research on older homes, but usually in the Greenbelt. You know, the NCC Greenbelt, like Orleans, for instance. And part of Nav and like towards the Mare Blue over where Savage's old place was, out that way.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of research and did that kind of, like the kind of research you're talking about is very detailed, so it's got to be somebody who obviously knew what they were doing. But I don't think our, we have a group in the township that's called the Local Architectural Conservation, what's it, I forget, I can never remember. But they, like where we're interested in the papers and the families and all that sort of stuff, and the museum is interested with the artifacts, LACAC looks after the architecture and the buildings and that sort of thing. And they did an inventory of the township not long after they started. That's the first thing they're required to do. It's a provincial organization, but it's set up locally. And people on there are appointed by council. And this is one of the first things they would have done, is to go out and talk to people, okay, what's the oldest building that you're aware of in Vars, for instance, or whatever, and obviously they were told to come out and check out the Divine Farm because of the pig house. And that's what they were doing. They were going around, and by taking a photograph from all four sides, they've got a really good visual record of what the building looked like, you know, and this is what they're trying to do.
There's been a new tin roof on it since mm-hmm. that man was here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got mm-hmm. these people are all dead. Now, where do you want to go from here?
Well, I wanted to point out something to you that maybe is interesting, and I don't know if you find it interesting or not. There was a naming pattern that was used, like a lot of people, like in our family, for instance, my husband, his second name is his father's first name, and then so what we carried that on was our son, mm-hmm. our firstborn son, his second name is his father's name. And here, if you look, you've got, now where are we here? Okay, James and Susanna's children. So if you look down the list here, okay, no, Irvin's children.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Irvin's eldest son is named James
yeah.
for his father's father. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Their second child is named Georgina, and that'd be after her mother's father, her grandfather on her mother's side, George Marshall. And they used to do those kind of naming patterns. So what they used to do is the firstborn child was named for the father's father. Okay? Now I think you did something similar, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our firstborn was named William, and Gordon's name is William Gordon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's just interesting that sometimes it helps you figure out who's who. Like they used to be, and they started off as if they're following that, so it gives you a lead as to what some of the other family names might have been. See, James Percy, James would have been, well, like I said, the father's father. Georgina would have been named for her mother's father. And then usually what they did, the second, how was it? Usually the way they did it was the firstborn son was named for the father's father. The firstborn daughter was named for the mother's mother, and then they went and used these names. So you get names that are repeated through the family, and the second son was, the third son was named for the father's brother, for instance. And it's just interesting that I noticed that pattern through there. And I just thought, you know, I'd point that out to you, because I thought, I didn't have George Marshall's name on here. I didn't know what Susanna Harriet's father's name was at that point. But I looked down here and I thought, I bet you it's George. And sure enough, when I looked in the Marshall records there, it was George Marshall and Susanna James. But it was just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was going to ask who built the farmhouse, and you told me that. Okay. And I was going to ask you how old James was when he died, and you told me that. Is there a Divine Family Bible?
Oh.
You don't have it there.
My mother had a big Bible, and one of my sisters had it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, take it out of the house, I don't want it here.
Mm-hmm.
You look after it. So, now I don't know which one has it.
There's a problem.
It's about this high.
Yeah.
But it came from Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, when she came from Montreal, it wasn't a Divine Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all her aunts and uncles and all you boys.
Oh, really? This would be a good way of filling in this stuff, you know, from your mother's family, because you really have very little information about her. So you'd be able to fill that out. See, it seems like your mother was very, very interested in all this stuff. She was the family historian, kept track of it all.
She should have helped Uncle Andrew make it
yeah.
up. Well, they could never get together to do anything.
Yeah, yeah. But
something that should have been done 75 years ago wasn't done. They could have
mm-hmm.
had this. Well, I guess it's right. It must be right, but he could have had them.
Well, it's quite possible he came to visit your mother and got the information from the Bible.
He phoned up every relative he had
mm-hmm.
to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
Even out west here, way out in Saskatchewan, all these kids, I never
mm-hmm.
saw them.
Mm-hmm.
Just know two of them that were here.
Mm-hmm.
But he had an awful time.
Mm-hmm.
Claudia, just imagine, starting into that. Of course, he had nothing to do, he's on a disability pension.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
let's go back here. Okay, so we had Irvin, and he stayed on the farm, and he didn't work in town or anything. He stayed on the farm and worked the farm.
Irvin Devine?
Yes, Irvin.
My grandfather?
Yeah.
Yeah, he stayed here.
Okay. Now...
He never was the way that I ever heard of.
Okay.
he couldn't get away.
What type of farming was he doing?
Well, there was a cheese factory up in Vires here in those days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the milk went before that. But they separated, when the cheese factory closed up in the fall, everybody separated those days.
Mm-hmm.
Then they shipped cream like to Castleman or Kenful up there.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so he was dairying mostly?
Yeah, the milk cows, the cows freshened in the spring again. They had them all, trying to freshen them all in the same month or so.
Mm-hmm.
They, not like today, you've been fresh cows every month. But the mm-hmm. cheese factory and creamery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they took pigs to market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Took butter to market. My father told me that, he did it himself.
Yeah, now which market was to be by town?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Get up about 3 o'clock in the morning and start off with the team.
Mm-hmm.
The roads weren't like today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He told me that different times.
Yeah. Your grandfather probably wouldn't have gone to school, but did your dad go to school?
Oh yes, my grandfather went to school someplace because he did read and write because he was a school trustee and church warden.
Oh really? Okay.
I got a book upstairs of his. He kept track of the little things in the scribblers up there someplace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He went to school. Where did he go to school? I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm. What about your dad? Do you know where he went to school?
My dad went up. It was school in Vires those days.
Yeah.
But then the school where we went to, that was the school for years, up above, near this side of Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
But where did my grandfather go to school? He got me there, I don't know. You go to Bearbrook?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. That's something we'll have to find out. Okay. But there was a school here because he was educated.
Well, there might have been a school in the village of Vires those days, too.
Well, yeah, it's quite possible because Vires, the railroad came through not long after Irvin was born.
A little over 100 years now.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Vars, and that really put Vars on the map. So.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big, it was probably had more population then than it ever had. So there would have been schools and those kind of services.
See, if
Vars
was there, then he could tell me where my father was.
Yeah,
and grandma
yeah.
went to school, but he said.
Yeah. Now, John Richard Devine, which it would have been your dad's brother, your uncle.
Richard Devine. John Richard.
John Richard.
Oh, you're...
Okay.
Yeah, but you're going down to Cumberland now.
No, not yet. Because James...
John Richard Devine.
John Richard. James is the one in Cumberland, eh?
Yes.
Isn't he the black
kid? Yes.
Okay, now you told me this fellow was working on the railroad in Ottawa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any idea what he did for the railroad?
No. I remember him coming here one time. I was just a little boy, and the only time I ever saw him, I guess he didn't visit very often, but I remember him coming here. He was a shorter man,
mm-hmm.
but he worked in the railroad in Ottawa,
mm-hmm.
and his kids are all in here and there. He's buried in the mausoleum in Ottawa, in Beechwood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that. Okay, but that's the only time you can ever remember him visiting.
Yes, and his family, I don't believe I ever saw any of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now James Devine, you said you remember going down to visit his widow.
Yes, oh yes, our little fella went with Uncle Archie. My father and I went with Uncle Archie in his Model A Ford.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was up near the Anglican Church.
Mm-hmm. Where it is now?
It was a white house near the Anglican Church, I know that, on this side of the street. There's the garage, and you go up there on the left. But whether they live in that house, all the time he's in Cumberland.
Run that
know.
By me again. I don't know Cumberland Village very well. I thought I know Cumberland Village. Okay, here's Queen Street.
Queen Street, that's the main street.
Yeah.
Well, you take the fifth line into the village.
Yep, there's Dunning Road, yeah.
Dunning Road.
And this is going west.
And then the ferry road down
yep.
here. And there's a gas station right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay,
corner Cameron.
Anglican mm-hmm. Church up
here. Up here, yeah.
Well, the house was in between here someplace.
Okay.
I remember
okay.
that.
Okay.
Because we left the car there.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just east of the church on Queen Street?
Yeah.
Okay, because you had said something about taking another side road, and I thought maybe it was in back here on one of these other streets. But it was right on Queen Street by the church.
You can take a side road in here.
And come around to there, yeah. Yeah, okay.
But whether they lived there all the time, I don't know.
And you don't know where the blacksmith shop was?
No.
Okay. So when you visited her, she was a widow?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But my father and Uncle Archie, well, I was just a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
That was their great visit, you know,
mm-hmm.
ours.
Mm-hmm.
My father didn't have a car. Uncle
mm-hmm.
Archie had a car.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem possible, does it, these days? I mean, you just whip down to Cumberland so quickly anymore. You really take it for granted.
In 10 minutes.
Yeah.
13 and a half miles from this farm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watch this
speedometer
one day, yeah. Marked it down. 13 and a half, right from here down there, it's straight.
Yeah. Now, James had some property here on the farm as well?
The 100 acres below this, west half, 25, concession 5.
Okay.
He owned that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he moved, he wanted to sell it. It was a headache to him because he lived in Cumberland. So my father grabbed it right away before somebody else got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bought another 100 over there from adjoining it from Mr. David McElroy.
Mm-hmm.
But he bought that way back in 1923, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe before that, but he paid $500 for each 100.
Incredible, eh?
$1,000 for 200 acres of bush.
Yeah, yeah. Now, John Richard, did he own, the fellow that went and worked on the railroad, did he own any land here?
No, not that I know, ever heard of.
Okay.
He buzzed off and he got a job in Ottawa and he stayed there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
now Jane, she was the only girl out of that, the first four. She married an Alexander, if I remember.
Yeah.
And you said she moved west?
Boy.
Was it Jane who moved west?
One of her daughters, eh?
Oh, okay. So you don't think Jane did? It's just Jane here.
Oh, you got me there. Isn't that the one that moved out west?
I don't think so. At least she was buried in Ottawa.
Oh.
See, now I have to look and see because I can't remember. I looked at this the other
day.
Well,
there was a Violet Devine lived out in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
That was born, she was born at, or her mother was born at.
Well, we'll have to go back here and see.
Cumberland.
Yeah.
Because she visited us here and she was from. She married a farmer out in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
But she was originally from Cumberland.
Yeah, well, there was
Violet
a lot
Devine.
Of them. Well, there's a Lillian. Florence Lillian. Now, where does she
Well, that's Uncle Jim's daughter.
Okay.
He had four daughters and two sons.
So that was the James from Cumberland.
Yeah, she.
So it was his family.
The woman who married this farmer out in Saskatchewan. It must have been her mother, who was born at Cumberland.
Okay. All right. So let's see here. So that's James. Yeah. See, here's James Devine. There was Clement Jason?
Six, yeah, there were six.
Yeah, and there's Laura Violet there. Is that the
well,
one?
Well, then the daughter is Violet too, as far as I can make out.
Yeah, that's quite possible. I'm just looking for Laura Violet here. Oh, you know what? Maybe they're at the back because there's a bunch of them.
You see, I should have got this.
No, that's fine. I've been going through it.
The one out west, she came here, I remember, but she was descended from...
See, all these with the number 4 in front are descended from Jane, okay? And all of the ones with the number 3 in front of them are descended from Jane in Cumberland. So, here we go. See, here's Clement Jason.
Yeah.
And Laura Violet.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting, want to know where...
Chamberlain.
She married a Chamberlain from out in Saskatchewan then.
I'm not sure because they doesn't have their
here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Francis. That's not Violet.
No.
Well, there it is.
Here it is. Here at the bottom. Laura Violet. But you see now, I think the ones that went west. I think we're talking about a different branch of the family here.
Well, that's James Devine. Well, James Devine and Irwin Devine both have people out west, descendants.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
But this aunt, this Violet, she was here, and I don't know if that's James Devine's granddaughter then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the one that married this farmer in Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a lot of relatives out there.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Well, this is where the bunch of them is. You see, we've got Milestone, Saskatchewan, Rulo, Saskatchewan.
Well, Rulo, I know that, Rulo. I was there once.
Were you? Cut Knife?
54.
Yeah?
No, Rulo and Aneroid.
Yeah?
That's where my father's two brothers were.
Yeah, I saw Aneroid a lot. Now, that's your father's two brothers?
Yes.
Okay. Because that's where they all turn up here. Okay, here, Dalton?
Dalton, Saskatchewan.
And Aneroid. And that's Edith May, Florence Sillian.
That's my first cousin then.
Yeah. Yeah. See, there, James Percy Devine, and that's your uncle. Yeah, he's... Okay, that's what I figured it out. That's what it was. Yes.
Uncle Jim and Uncle Edgar.
Yeah. Irvin's your grandfather, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And ordinarily, like usually what families did, the land, the farm would go to the firstborn son. But James Percy, he was the one who went to Aneroid.
Yes.
And his descendants are out there.
James Devine and
James
Ed
Percy,
Edgar.
Yeah. Now, and see, then it skipped because Archibald never married.
No.
And then it skipped down here, the farm skipped down to your father, who was William, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But he went west, and there were a lot of, like, there's a lot of settlers. There was some, I'm trying to think, the family here. I've got a list. There was a list published in the Citizen or the Journal back around the turn of the century of recent settlers from this area, Vars area, who had gone to the west. And I can't remember if Devine is on the list, but now I can't remember the other name. There was another name from south of the 417. There's a road over there now named after the family.
Gee, I can't remember anybody who went out west to stay there.
No, this is a lot, lot. This is before your time.
McVeigh.
The McVeighs.
Where did they live? South of the 417.
417.
I never heard of the McVeighs out there. It's all French.
Yeah, Wilson Lowe's Road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Wilson Lowe's Road.
Mm-hmm.
Could
there's
have been
a McVeigh Road off
there.
Of it there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you see, a lot of them went west, because that's when the west was just opening up, 1890, 1900. And they went out there and lived out there until the 20s, when, you know, 30s, when things started to go bad, eh? But, so, it's interesting, because your family really represents a lot of, it's very typical of the type of development and the type of settlement we had in the township. Okay. Okay, and I asked you about the Rickard family. So, would you expect that Verna Kinsella might know?
Well, she's the youngest of the four girls.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because Verna's interested in history, I know. I'll have to ask her the next time I see her.
See, Verna's a sister's... They're not in Vars.
Yeah.
And she's the youngest one, so I don't know what information she has.
Mm-hmm. I think if anybody would have it in the Rickard family, she might, because Evans really didn't know that much about the family.
Evans didn't mark down the... grandfather and traced people down from that?
No, he didn't. No. He had a photograph. There was a photograph in the old house of him, because I think he was the youngest of the family. One of the youngest, if I remember.
Could have been.
Yeah. But you see, when he was a boy, they went away from Vars for a few years.
Yeah.
They were gone for a while.
Grand Lake Hill.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's whatever people are interested in. I guess he wasn't interested in it at the time. So, yeah. Okay.
Well, when you go back 140 years, the people never thought of their descendants wanting to know information 140 years later.
No. But it's surprising how much information is there if
you
go looking.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have census returns and tax rolls from the township from 1823 on microfilm, you know.
I'm
and
sure
that tells you a lot.
You get finished, yeah.
Yeah.
Horace, William Horace took the farm over, and then the...
Yeah.
Three of a family. Okay.
Okay.
That's all here.
Now, William Horace, he's that was your father?
Yes.
Okay. He stayed on the farm and farmed as well?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
He had a trip out west one time, and he went on his honeymoon to New York. That's the only time he got away that I know of, besides going to Ottawa.
Yeah. But he didn't, I'm trying to think which war now, he didn't...
No, there was only one of these fellas in the war, Uncle Harold.
Yeah.
And he came back... It wasn't hurt
1888.
At all.
Well, he would have been too old to go anyway. 1890, he would have been, what, almost 30 when World War I broke out. So he had children.
14, 18.
No, I'm looking at your father.
Oh, he had to stay here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, because he was running the farm, yeah.
But we have, I lost my first cousin, though. I was in plain raid over Germany, Harold McGladrey in Ottawa.
Well, I noticed there was two of them that were two in the family that were killed in action overseas, and they were killed a month apart.
Yeah, there's one over here.
Today, July 10th and August 10th.
I noticed that too, a descendant of James Devine of Cumberland.
Mm-hmm.
He had a son killed overseas. His son had a son killed overseas.
Yeah, it would be his grandson. Yeah. But there was another one further in there. I can't remember which one. Yeah. One was killed July the 10th, and the other one was killed August the 10th.
Well, Harold McDowdy was killed, but that's how Florence McDowdy is.
Yeah.
In Ottawa, son.
Well, it could have been him, because the McGladrey family are all in here as well. Then I noticed there were several sets of twins as well. Three or four sets of twins.
You see, you lost me now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's just it's interesting when you go through it.
Yeah, my father lived here all his life.
Mm-hmm.
He got away twice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, out of Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
Twice.
Mm-hmm. Did you go with, when you said you went to Saskatchewan, did you go with your dad?
1954, at the end of September 1954.
Mm-hmm. Did you go with your father?
No, I went with a policeman from Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an awful rush of a trip, I was never again. 2 weeks and we were way up to Edmonton for 2 days. And we got into the corner of BC and we were going to Vancouver and we just sat down and thought we can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got into the corner of BC and down into Idaho and came home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You had to get back in police force, see?
Mm-hmm.
Police force.
Yeah. So you visited your cousins out west?
Just one.
Yeah.
He had been here a couple of times.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a wild man.
And this is from the one from Rulo.
Yeah, Uncle Edgar had one son and one daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But Austin's not in very bad, in good shape now. He had some pipes put in here. Oh, mm-hmm. Boy, I'd like to see him. But
mm-hmm. Do you write to them at all?
No. Well, he sent us something when we were married.
When we were married, and I wrote back, and he never answered the next mm-hmm. letter.
Oh, he wouldn't write mm-hmm. letters like me. But his sister was here,
mm-hmm.
and she died since that. She was mm-hmm. she was dying then.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that, but she gave us a big plate, eh?
Yeah, I wrote to her quite a bit. She wrote at least once a month since
mm-hmm.
she died.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to Uncle Jim, he had six of a family. But I only know Austin and his sister.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another one here, came to see Uncle Archie one time, Uncle Jim's daughter. She was down here different times. Hattie Squab, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that name.
Well, I know her, but the rest, that they're all strangers to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, where are we going here? That's my two uncles, yeah.
That's pretty well everything for that I wanted to talk to you about the Devines at the moment, because, you know, it gives us a pretty good information about what was here. What to change the subject a bit, talk about VARS a bit. Can you remember much about, or I shouldn't say, can you remember? Did your dad talk much about VARS? Or it sounds like your dad was a bit of a storyteller.
He knew all the storekeepers, and Frank Tanner was the undertaker, and
mm-hmm.
he knew who the CNR station agents were, and
mm-hmm.
and he knew Mr. Marta, of course. He was Notary Public, as well as a harness repair man, and he had the post office
mm-hmm.
for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's just the main men who lived in Paris for a number of years, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You see, if these fellows had come back, and they wouldn't know Paris now, eh?
No.
It's going that way.
I gave Vern a paper one day I found about the early time of Paris, if you're interested in seeing her about it.
I may have a copy of that, because Evans Rickard gave me half a dozen sheets.
Okay.
I didn't know where they came from,
yeah.
So that's good to know.
She asked me if I can tell her how they came
from. Oh, really?
There's a picture in the post office of the train wreck in Vars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what year.
It's not there anymore. I took it down.
You took it down?
Took them all in.
Oh. Well, somebody has them, weren't it?
Yeah.
Harold Tanner?
Maybe he had maybe he put the pictures there.
Could be.
Harold Tanner's about the only man in Vars who can tell you anything about Vars now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's 80.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's quite a bit, I don't know where they came from too, but amongst the stuff I got from Evans Rickard, there were half a dozen newspaper clippings as well about, there was a series that ran in the paper about towns in the valley, and they did quite a bit of writing about Vars, so whoever was doing the writing must have known somebody out here, and they talked about Mr. Mitchell and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this on?
Yep. Do you want me to shut it off?
No, Mr. Mitchell, I don't know.
I wonder if you could tell secrets, I'll shut it off. so, because there was a story in there about Mr. Mitchell, Dennis the Menace.
Who's that?
The cartoon, you know, the comic strip,
yeah.
Dennis the Menace. And the Mr. Mitchell in there was supposedly named after the Mr. Mitchell in Vars.
Yeah, we had the two writers. I'm not sure whether Verna got those too. But some told it all those Vars areas.
Yeah, well, we,
and I copied them. Either it's still upstairs somewhere in a box. I packed a lot of things away already.
Yeah.
I delivered milk bottles and Vars from this farm for a number of years until we had to get it pasteurized and then we had to quit. But anyway, I went every morning, demon slay out every day in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday, I had more kids in the sleigh than milk bottles. You couldn't get them off, you couldn't. Remember Harold Tanner coming out of the store and his two boys were in a fight, they were going to drive the horse today. And he had to stop the fight. Oh. That's where I made my first million.
Yeah.
And then I had an old truck.
Yeah. So you used to deliver milk to the houses?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh,
okay. Didn't know
right
that.
On the doorstep there.
Mm-hmm.
Paid once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget Jack Kyle. He said, call in and get your money. He was straight from Ireland. Eh? And he had that month's money counted out to the cent on the table there, and I had signed the receipt and left it there, and it was counted right to the cent that morning.
Mm-hmm.
No, anybody can, my age up in Bars can tell you about John Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
He had the cheese factories around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, he had different cheese factories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many.
Mm-hmm.
He had one at Vernon, I know, and one at Bars.
Mm-hmm.
You never forget an old Irishman from Ireland, especially.
I don't forget him either. He tripped me to the floor one day. Said I was marrying that new Gordon Devine.
Anyway,
before we got it married.
Mr. Mitchell. You never forget an old Irishman from Ireland, especially.
I don't forget him either. He tripped me to the floor one day. Said I was marrying
always
that new Gordon Devine.
Anyway,
before we got it married.
Mr. Mitchell and Mr. Jim Knuckles, he was straight from England.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Kyle and Jim Knuckles couldn't say talk to each other. If they did, they'd get into an argument. Mr. Knuckles was well educated, but he drifted over to Canada. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Never was married, but we know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's woman trouble he had, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He blames everything on women trouble.
No, but I was told that. It could have been, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to change the subject here and talk to Margaret a bit. Are you from the township?
No, I was born in Longueuil, Quebec.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have family ties down there. Well, my husband does.
Yeah. I came up, I lived at St. Albert for a while, and
yeah.
I met Gordon through his brother-in-law, Denny Brown.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Yeah, I'm just curious because there's Wilson family in the township, too, so.
No relation. My family did. I have my mother and sister in Ottawa, and my
mm-hmm.
brother's at Winchester.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I think I have all the information for that. I've got the, so I'm going to shut this off.